We're holding on Nun Aleph Amud Beis, the fifth line of the wide lines. We looked in the Mishnah. So if you have, we said you have a bird that belongs to two partners, and we discussed yesterday what exactly would be the scenario that both of them have responsibility for the bird. So we said that, over all of our Rishon Vloitisohu, we said if the first one passed by and didn't cover it, and then the second one came by, and didn't cover it, then the second one will be chayev. We mentioned yesterday there are Rishonim who have a Gersa that says the first one will be chayev, so, really they're not arguing on the din, it's just, depending on the details of the scenario, as we're gonna say now, about, what happened when the first one left, was the second one already there? So, Rishon Me'emas Michter. At what point do we say that the first one is potter for the fact that after all, he didn't cover the bird? What exactly does he need to be doing or not doing, to be potter? So, Rabbi Rabbi Yosef, the Amri Tavayu, Mishmei, the Rabbi Babachona, the Oma Mishmei, the Rebbe. So, we had this before also, that both Rabbi Bar, but that Rabbi and Rabbi Yosef both said something in the name of Rabbi Babachona, who in turn said in the name of Rabmani, and they argue, but they argue between them, what did Rabbi Babachona say? Chad Oma Mishmanichay Mishnamish. One says it's when he left the second one using the burr. So Reuven came there, drew water from the burr, or did whatever he wanted to with the burr. Then, before he left, Shimon came by. Shimon was using the burr. So now, Reuven can leave without having to cover it, and it's Shimon's responsibility to cover the burr. V'chad Oma, the other one says, Mishayim Soloi Dolyoi, only when he gives over to Shimon the Dli. Now, dli usually means a bucket, and there are a number of Rishonim who understand it to mean just that over here, that it means that he gave him the bucket to draw water with. On the other hand, Rashi over here understands that it means not the bucket, but rather the cover of the burr. So when he actually, so according to this second opinion, only when he actually gave him the cover, only then can we say he's potter, because then, by giving him the cover, he's giving him full responsibility for the burr. But just leaving him there drawing water, according to this Manda Omer, we would still say that the first one is Chayev as well. The Rashba explains, Taka, why does Rashi explain Dolyoy to mean the cover rather than the bucket, where the word Dli, after all, does usually mean a bucket? Is because Chakev, you could say, if he gave him the bucket, that amounts to making him his Shliach to draw water. So then, and all the more so, he should be Chayev. Therefore, we have to understand that instead he means that he gave him the cover. With that said, again, the Rashba goes on to bring, Rabbeinu Hananel says that no, it does mean the actual bucket itself, because now it means that he's giving it over to the other ones who are sure to complete. Okay, so two opinions on that. So the Gemara says, Ketanoi, these two opinions of Rabbi and Rabbi Yosef actually reflect a machlokas tanoim on the subject, because the Braisa says, Amad labmayim min abur, if a person is drawing water from a pit, and the other one comes over and says, "Hanach li vani ed lamayim, give me some room, and let me draw water. Or you leave me, you finish your water, and then leave me, and then leave the boil open for me to draw." So the Braisa says, Kivichi nichin ishtamish, once he left the second one using the burr, potter, then the first one is potter, because at that point you can't expect him to cover it there, or you can't expect him to wait around while Shimon is drawing the water. It should be Shimon's responsibility to cover it. On the other hand, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, Omer, Mishayim Soloi Dolya, and Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says only when he gives him the dali, the cover according to Rashi, the bucket according to Rabbeinu Hananel. So the Gemara says, "B'mai kamitzugi." What is the underlying machloikas of the Chachamim and Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov? So Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov sava yesh breira. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov holds of the concept of breira. Now we do have the concept of breira throughout Shas, although there are Rishonim who say over here that maybe we're not talking the Ra'ah in particular, says that the breira over here is not necessarily the same as the breira throughout Shas, as we will learn. So Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov holds there is breira because we can say ha'imi didei komemale v'ha'imi didei komemale. Each one is filling up from his own. In other words, we can say retroactively, it turns out that each one was filling up his own water. So we can't say, in other words, that the second one is borrowing anything from the first one. If we did, Rashi points out, then we would say that, if we said that he was borrowing from the first one, then we would say that the whole, that he has full responsibility for it, the same way as when one person borrows the other one's shur, let's say he has full responsibility for that shur. No, so we don't say that. We say, says Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, that each one is filling from his own water. So therefore, so the first one can only be potter only if he gave over the actual cover of the burr to the other one, where now he made him a shomer. But otherwise, we would say that just basically he's a shoyel. He's borrowing from the other one. Oh no, he's not borrowing from the other one. We would say if it's just a matter of drawing water, each one is drawing from his own water, therefore he's not a shoyel on the other one's part. Therefore, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov would say you can't be mechayev him on whatever happens with that burr. Only if he gave him the cover, then he made him a shoyel on that. But Rabbanan Savri, Ein Breira, whereas the Chachamim would hold Ein Breira, we don't say that the water that he drew, it turns out retroactively, was his water all along. Rather we say that it's considered like he borrowed water from the other one, and therefore he's like a shoyel on the entire burr, because what he's drawing from is the entire burr, and therefore even without giving him the cover or the pail is enough for him to become chayev. So here's where the Ra'ah points out this isn't really the regular case of breira that we have throughout Shas, because after all, we're not really talking about the water over here, we're talking about the burr that the animal fell into. The actual structure of the burr is the same either way. So the Gemara is using breira in a bit of a looser way. So it means, in other words, that we don't mean the actual concept of breira that we discussed throughout Shas. We mean, though, a related point that Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov considers each one to only be using his part, and the Chachamim consider that each one is using the other one's part as well. And therefore, that would explain why the Chachamim say he's chayev, why the Chachamim say he's potter once he left the other one using it, and Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov would say only if he gives him the cover. Amar Ravina, and Ravina points out the Ozul Taimayu. In that case, it comes out that Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov and the Chachamim are both going according to their own svaras, which we find them using the svara in a different context as well. The Tanan, we learned in a mission in Nedarim, we learned it a while back. Hashutvin shenodru hana zemizeh. If partners made a neder not to have hana one from the other. So exactly that. You have Reuben and Shimon are partners, and in this particular case, we're going to talk about that they own a chotzer jointly, and each one made a neder not to have hana from the other. Asurin lekonis lechotzer, so then they're also to go into the chotzer that both of them own jointly. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Omer. On the other hand, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says, no, they could. Zem nichnas l'seich shaloi, but zem nichnas l'seich shaloi. Each one can go into his portion of the chotzer. Whichever part he goes into, he can say, this is my portion, and breira will work. So that's the thing. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov sava yesh breira. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov holds there is breira. We can say that each one, at the time when he's using the chotzer and the parts of the chotzer that he's stepping in, is his chotzer at the time. So ha'ila d'nafsha ayil, v'ha'ila d'nafsha ayil. So each one is going into his section, and therefore that's fine. They're not having hana from each other. But Rabbanan Savri ain't breira, whereas Hachamim would hold, there's no breira, the whole chotzer belongs to both of them jointly, unless they actually split it up, and therefore then he's having hana from the other one's chotzer as well. Tosfos brings over here from the Gemara in Nedarim that deals with various details about this. We're going to learn in Bava Basra in a few months' time, that's the Shem, we're going to learn about the concept that with a chotzer, you have a minimum size chotzer that has din chalukka, where is the chotzer big enough that if you split it, each one will get something that can still be called a chotzer. So wouldn't there be a difference between whether you have din chalukka or not? So the difference is, if it doesn't have din chalukka, if it's not big enough to split it, and each one will have 4x4 amos, which is the minimum size for a chotzer, then, like this, if it's big enough for that, each one can say, you know what, just sell me your portion, and I'll sell you my portion, whatever, as the case may be, gudai ogur, as we'll learn about in Bava Basra, where there's no din chalukka, then you can't do that, you can't prevent the other guy from going into the chotzer, because the other guy can say, look, it's too small for us to split up. The fact is, though, that he can still answer it to him, because it's still his property. So regardless, whether we're talking about whether the chatzar is big enough to split or not, either way, the chachamim would say that they're also to go into the chatzar, and Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov would say that they are that each one of them is mutter because each one is going into his section. Then Tosfos also points out, we learned in Nedarim, the whole matter of are people makbid usually on people stepping into their property? Is that something that would be considered something that people are makbid on and therefore that should be osur? Anyway, the one rule that Tosfos makes over here is that whenever you have something that you could have rented, then it's considered your property. And like this, you could, after all, rent an easement to somebody in your property and allow them to go in. So therefore, in that sense, it's considered his property. But Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov is saying, fine, but each one is going into his property. Okay, the point is that both of them are using, both the Chachamim and Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov are using the same svara over there, of Yesh Brera and Ein Brera, as they are over here as far as the pit. Okay. Since we're talking about handing over the cover of the pits to another person in terms of Nizakin, so now the Gemara digresses to talk about a related din as far as kinyan. Omer Rav Elazar, hamoicha bor l'chaveiroi, when a person sells a bor to somebody else, kivin shemosa lo dolyoi, once he hands over the dli, where again would be according to Rashi the cover, and according to Rabbeinu Hananel the bucket, kona, then the other one is koina the bor. Well, the Gemara asks, hey, chidomi, what are we talking about? How does giving over a cover or a bucket, how does that constitute a kinyan? Iba kaspa, if we're talking now, a bur is karka, and karka you can acquire, as we learned in Kedushin, with kesef, shtar, or chazaka. So what are we using over here as the method of kinyan that we're saying that would be considered kinyan by giving him the cover? Iba kaspa, if we're talking about that there was supposed to be a kinyan kesef, likni iba kaspa, well then the guy pays money and then he's koneh because it's land. Iba chazaka, and if you're talking about that he uses chazaka, likni ba chazaka, then he's koneh with chazaka. And for that matter, shtar as well. So what exactly is this giving over the cover? So the answer is lo'olam ba chazaka. In fact, we are talking about chazaka. Uboi l'meima leich chazak u'kni. Now what happens is, in order for chazaka to work, when chazaka is being done in the presence of the one who bought it, then in the presence of the one who sold it, then he does chazaka and the other person is watching and that's good enough. But if we have a general rule, which we're going to learn a lot of in Bava Basra, Be'ez Hashem, that when a person says that when the chazaka is being done not in the presence of the seller, then the seller has to tell him leich chazak ukni, go make a chazaka and thereby you'll be koin. So the kivin shemosel ledolyoi. So now in this case, he gives him the cover. Kimanda omale leich chazak ukni dami. It's the equivalent of telling him leich chazak ukni. So meaning, in other words, that what it helps when we say that he's koine, what we mean is that now the guy is going to be able to do the chazaka without the seller being present, and therefore we can call it that now he was koine. Not that strictly speaking he was koine. Strictly speaking, he still needs to actually do the chazaka. But the point is, at this point, there's nothing preventing him from doing the chazaka because all he needs to do now is go and make that chazaka. The guy already gave him permission to by giving him the cover. Similarly, the Gemara says, "Amar Rabbi Shimon Levi, Hamoicha Bayis Lachaveiroi." By the same token, a person sells a house to somebody else. Kivin Shemosel Lamateach Kona. Once he gives him the house, once he gives him the key to the house, Kona, then the other guy is Kona the house. And again, the Gemara asks, "Hey Chidomi, what's the scenario?" Iba kasva, houses are also a matter of karka. So if there's kinyan kesef going on over here, if the guy paid money for the house already, likni bakasva, then he should be koina with the money. He doesn't need to be given the key. Already the exchange of money constitutes the kinyan, meaning, and when we say constitutes the kinyan, I mean, even if there hadn't been money exchanged hands yet, obviously he's going to have to pay at some point. The point is, kinyan would have been accomplished in the sense that neither one can now renege on the deal. So if that, then kesef, iba chazaka, likni bakasva, and if we're talking about that he's doing chazaka, then Rikni Bahazaka, then Chazaka should be good enough to be Koina. What exactly is giving over the key accomplishing? And the Gemara answers similarly to the one with the pit. La'olam b'chazaka. In fact, we are talking about where he's acquiring it with chazaka. Oboi l'meima l'leich chazako kni. Like we just said, when the seller is not going to be present at the time that the buyer does chazaka on it, then the seller is going to have to tell him, leich chazako kni. Go make a chazaka and thereby you'll acquire. Yes, the, in effect, giving him permission to go and make that chazaka. So once he gave him the key, then it's the equivalent of telling him that, and therefore, so we don't mean, again, that the actual giving the key itself constitutes a chazaka, but what we mean is the giving of the key accomplishes that now the guy is free to do the chazaka whenever he wants, even though the seller is not present. Now, Tosfos has a bit of discussion over here on the question that is it in fact that, so he was saying that giving the key is not itself a chazaka. Now you do have, the Tosfos brings from the Rashbam in Bava Basra, who says that actually, putting up a lock over there on the door and close it, locking the door would be considered, a chazaka. This is in connection over there with Nichse Ager. We talked about the other day when a ger passes away without children, where therefore he has no heirs and anybody is free to take his property. So you have a method also of chazaka over there, which can involve that, which can involve putting up a lock. So the vote would be, in other words, giving him the key, as we're saying over here, wouldn't be a chazaka. Because the Rashbam draws a distinction between das acheres makne and not. You have a choice for students from Gemara and Pesachim that, for example, when it comes to bedikas chometz, when you give the other person the keys, then it means the other person is now responsible for bedikas chometz. So the Rashbam draws a distinction between das acheres makne and not. In the case of renting a house, you have Reuven is giving the key to Shimon, therefore that he's being machnet to him. Whereas in the case of a ger passing away, you have nobody to be machnet to him. He's getting it from Hefker. So it would come out then in that case that giving the key would be an actual kinyan. But Tosfos says we're saying over here that it's not an actual kinyan. It's just the equivalent of saying leich chazako kni. And so Tosfos goes on to discuss in some detail about the details of that. When would we say that it's considered, it's one thing. Tosfos says, on the contrary, rather what it is giving the key is not a chazaka, but on the other hand, giving the key means now you have the ability to go in and out of the house, therefore you're the one responsible for bedikas chametz. And Tosfos goes on to discuss various details of the ins and outs of that in some deal, in some detail. Anyway, the point is that the same way as with a burr, we said giving over the cover is not an actual kinyan, but it accomplishes that now the other person can now make a kinyan, can make a chazaka whenever he wants, even if you, the seller, are not present. So it is with the house as well. There are different achronim talk about how to find for the Rashbam, where again the Rashbam is saying that in general giving the key is a kinyan. He or Gemara is saying that not. There can be a difference where he just gives him the key stam without saying anything, versus over here, Mosa Loya Mateach is actually giving him the key with the intention of that now the guy can make that, that itself would be the kinyan. The Pnei Yeshua understands that we're talking about that he gives him the key as well as the guy locks the door. Those two things together are enough to make a kinyan. And there are different other explanations. Okay. In a similar vein, Amar Shlokish Mishum Rabbi Yanai, here's another example of kinyan. Again, I mean, here, the dinim of kinyanim are mostly in Bava Basra. The Gemara is bringing it over here because, again, we're digressing, having talked about the cover of a burr and when giving over the cover transfers responsibility for covering it from one to the other. So we're talking about when giving over the cover of a burr transfers the ownership of the burr from one to the other. And then we're dealing the same thing with the house and similar things with metalfred. So Amar Shlokish Mishum Rabbi Yanai Hamoicher Eder LaChaveri. When a person sells a herd of animals to somebody else, Kiven Shemosel LaMashkukis. Once he gives them over the Mashkukis, which we'll see in a second, what that is, Kona. Then the other person is Kona the animals. So again, the question is, Hey Fidami, what is the scenario where we need the Mashkukis? Iba Mashicha, if the kinyan was supposed to have been done with Mashicha, these being animals, of course, it's not Kesef Shtar Chazaka, as we learned in Kiddushin, when it comes to Metaltlin, one way that you do the kinyan of it is Mashicha. You pull the animals, you make them walk, so then Likni B'Mashicha. So you should acquire them with Mashicha. Iba Mesira, and if we're talking about the kind of animals that you can give over with Mesira, where you hand over the, where you hand over the reins, or the buyer grabs a hold of something, of some part of the animal, or something, something attached to the animal, or whatever. And if you're going to be koinim b'mesira, liknim b'mesira, then the guy is koinim with that. So why do you need this giving him the mashkukis? And the answer is lo'olam b'mesira. We are in fact talking about where the intention is to do a kinyan mashicha. And like we said, again, if the seller is not going to be present at the time when he does the mashicha, he would have to tell him, go do mashicha, and thereby you'll be koinim. He has to give him the authorization to do that. But given the muscle of mashkukis, once he gave him mashkukis, that's not necessary. Then it's the equivalent of telling him, go do mashicha and make a kinyan. So we have the same concept when it comes to a pit, the same concept when it comes to a house, and when it comes to a flock of animals. Okay, my mashkukis, what exactly is this mashkukis? So hocha taugimu, here in Bavel, they explain that it means karkashta, a bell. So the shepherd or whatever the person who's herding the animals walks in front of the animal and jingles a bell, and that causes all the animals to follow him. So we're saying once he gave the bell to the one who bought the animals, then now the person is able to do the mashicha on the animals anywhere, anytime he wants, even without the seller being present. Rabbi Yaakov, on the other hand, says it means Ezo de Azla Beresh Edra. It means the goat that goes at the head of the flock. So Rashi explains sometimes the owner of a flock has one particular goat who's very sharp. Eiz Chorif, Rashi says, a very sharp, a very aware goat. So it goes in front, and everybody else follows. All the other animals follow. There's actually a Gemara in Shabbos that says an interesting thing. Why is it that you always find the goats walking in front of the sheep? And the answer is, the answer is, the goats are usually dark colored. The hair of them is usually dark. The sheep are mostly white. So therefore, he says, just like my Maisa Bereshis, Beresha Chashoicha, Vahodr Nahora. First you had the Vahi Era, Vahi Boiker. First you had the darkness, then you had the light. The same way over here, you have first the dark colored goats walk, and then the light colored sheep walk behind them. And of course, it's meant not only as an example of sheep and goats, it's also meant as this is the trajectory of a person's life, that often you have first on an individual level, on a national level, first there's Choshech, and then from the Ur, Yisra and Ur, and then you have the Ur that comes out of it, which is much greater. Anyway, so here we're mentioning in the same vein that you often have one particular smart goat that goes that's very sharp and very on the ball, that walks ahead of all of the other goats. Some of the Mephoshim learned, by the way, that these two opinions are not necessarily arguing that in Bavel they did things one way, in Eretz Yisrael where Rabbi Yaakov lived, they did things a different way. So maybe not. The Marashal points out there are Rishonim that imply that both of them agree with one another, and then there are Rishonim who imply that they are disagreeing. Whatever the case, the point is that's the mashkukis, something that you give it over, and now it's considered that you've given over the whole flock, and now the other guy can make the chazaka anywhere you want, any time you want. So what's this example of the goat walking in front? Kedidorish hahu glila alei derav chista, as it was an example of a man from the Galil who from the north of Eretz Yisrael who said the following drasha in front of Rav Chista. Rabbeinu Yohonasan explains that this person from Galil, we find him in a few other places in Shas as well, he was Rav Chista's regular meturgamon. He would be standing always in front of Rav Chista and explaining his drushes to the public. So in this case, in Rav Chista's time. So now Rav Chista had, sometimes this fellow would come up with a drosha of his own and say it in the presence of Rav Chista. So he says, Kad rogiz raya al ona, when the shepherd is angry with the flock, Ovid the Nagda Samusa, he blinds that leading goat. And then what happens is that leading goat doesn't know which way to go, so it ends up leading all the flock into a dangerous zone. The nimshal being, in other words, that when Hashem is upset with the Jewish people, what does he do? He has that the people end up appointing themselves unqualified leaders, and then those unqualified leaders end up leading them into places where they shouldn't be, into circumstances where they shouldn't be, where if they had been smarter, they would have stayed away from it. But in other words, so the same thing. So this gula, so Rabbeinu Yohanan explained, there was a problem in that time. There were people. There were leaders of different Jewish communities at that time who were not worthy of their position. So therefore, the Samora was giving this mashal in order that people should realize that the problem is not so much with the leaders, the problem is with us, that therefore we have to improve our ways, and then the Eibishter will arrange that we have better leaders. Okay. Mishnah says, Kisohu Harishon. Now, suppose the first person, now, again, we have this burr that belonged to two shukvin. So before we talked about where one of them left it uncovered and then the other one came, and we said that the second one and didn't cover it. We said the second one is chayev, and we discussed the point that we discussed the two different opinions. Is it that he just left him drawing water over there, or is it that he actually handed him over the cover? So now continuing, Kisahu Harishin, what if the first one did cover the burr like he was supposed to? Uvah Hasheni Umotze Megula, later on the second one came and found the burr uncovered. How does he find it uncovered? So Rashi explains, for example, that worms were eating the cover. The cover, as the Gemara is going to explain, the cover is made out of wood. So you could conceivably have worms eating away at it, and eventually it breaks apart and falls. So therefore, the second one comes and finds it uncovered because, for example, worms ate it. Veloiki sohu, if now he didn't cover it, when he finished using the well, Hasheni Chayev, then the second one is going to be Chayev. The first one will be Potter because he did cover it properly. It got eaten up by worms. You can't expect him to have realized that that's going to happen. So we're going to explain in the Gemara. The first thing we're going to explain in the Gemara is there has to be a point. Up until what point are we saying the first one is Potter versus at what point do we say that he's Chayev? After all, you can't say the moment the second person found it uncovered, then he right away is going to be Chayev. It takes time if we're talking about that the cover broke apart, it's going to take him time to find or to get a new cover. So there has to be a point where the first one is going to be Chayev as well. So we're going to discuss that point in the Gemara. Anyway, Rashi also adds, If the first one hadn't covered it, and the second one came and found it uncovered and didn't cover it, both of them are going to be chayev. Because when in the previous Mishnah, when we said Hasheni Chayev, we said the first one was leaving the first one using the well. Here we're talking about the first one did not cover it. He left with the burr still uncovered. Then Shimon came by, found it uncovered, and also didn't cover it. So now we can say both of them are going to be chayev. But in our Mishnah, we're talking about where the first one did cover it properly, so therefore he's potter under the details that we're going to say in the Gemara, and only the second one's going to be chayev because he didn't cover it.
Didn't you say that the first one left open the shutting and he sold?
That's the thing. In the previous Mishnah, that's what Rashi points out. In the previous Mishnah, we were talking about that when Reuven left, Shimon was already there using the well. Now we're talking about when Reuven left, Shimon was not there yet. So as far as in the previous Mishnah, there we have the Machloikas of Abba and Rav Yosef. Do we mean that Reuven, just when he left, Shimon was using the well? He didn't give him the cover. Just the fact that Shimon is using the well is enough for Reuven to be potter, or is it that he actually has to give him the cover to the well, and otherwise Reuven is still chayev? But here we're talking about, in any case, a different scenario where when Reuven left, Shimon had not yet come. So therefore, Reuven should have covered it before he left. So continues the Mishnah, Kisohu Karohi, if you did cover the pit properly, the Nafal Secha Shura Hamur, and yet a Shura Hamur fell into it, middle of the Mishnah one. Again, as the example that, for example, now the Gemara is going to give various possibilities. If you covered it properly, how are animals falling into it? properly means that you put a cover strong enough that animals can walk on it. We'll see in the Gemara a couple of scenarios. Anyway, the nafal seicha shura chamor mess, and a shura chamor fell into it and died. Potter. So then he's potter because he did what he was supposed to. The pasuk says v'lo yichasenu. If he doesn't cover it, then he's chayev. Here he covered it properly. So it's not his problem that the cover broke in the examples that we're going to see in the Gemara, how it broke. On the other hand, but if he didn't cover it properly, meaning that he put on it a weak cover, the kind that that when animals walk on it, it's going to break, and a shor chamor fell into it and died, chayev, then he's going to be chayev because he didn't cover it the way he was supposed to.
You can't say that animals have a feeling as when they're stepping something.
Yeah, so we're going to talk about in the Gemara, mostly we're going to talk about tomorrow, Bess Hashem, that a shur pikeach, a normal animal that's able to watch where it's going, b'chlal, you should be potter if it falls into your burr, because it should be able to see where it's going and know not to fall into the burr. So only when,
nighttime.
So it would have to be at nighttime, or the animal is blind, or deranged, or whatever. So we'll talk about that. We'll talk about that in the Gemara tomorrow, Bess Hashem. But in any case, you can, if you have a cover on it, maybe not necessarily. You might have, for example, that the cover is a little bit shaky, but maybe not enough to dissuade an animal from walking on it. But yeah, okay. Continues the Mishnah. Nothal lefonav. What if the animal fell in forward? So mikola kriya, because of the noise of the digging. So in other words, Vashi explains you have a bird that was already there. Now somebody goes in. Now you hire somebody to go and dig the burr wider or deeper. Meanwhile, you have a shur walking by over there. He hears the banging. He hears the hammering, and that startles the animal, and it falls into the burr. Okay, whatever. It startles it, and therefore it falls into the burr. Chayev. So then the owner of the burr is going to be chayev for what happened to the bird, not to the shur. Now, here's where Rashi says, now we are going to learn later on, again, we're going to say that usually if the shur is a pikeah, usually if it's a normal shur, we can't be mechayev him falling into a burr, because the owner of the burr, the one who dug the burr, can say, look, your shur should have paid attention where it's going. But here, where it got startled by the noise, then therefore we can say it got scared by it, and therefore we're going to say that he's chayev for that. Now, Rashi points out later on Daf Nun Gimel, by the way, that we have to be talking about over here where, now Rashi had given the scenario over here where he hires somebody to dig the burr wider or deeper. And Rashi explains over here it has to be that way, because otherwise, if he's hiring him to dig a new one, we learned before, Ein Shliach L'Dvar Aveira. So here we're talking about the burr was already there. All he's hiring somebody to do is to dig it out wider. On the other hand, later on, Daf Nun Gimel, the Gemara is going to talk about why should the owner of the burr be chayev? Why shouldn't the one who's doing the actual digging, the actual hammering, be chayev? So therefore, that the implication is that we're talking about two different people. If the one who owned the burr himself is the one who's making it bigger, then obviously you have nothing to talk about. Which one is chayev? Obviously, it's going to be the same person. So we have to be talking about that. It's two different people. Reuven previously dug the burr, and now he hired Shimon to go and make the burr wider or deeper. And we're saying that Reuven is going to be chayev for an animal falling into the burr. And later on, on Dr. Gimel, the Gemara is going to deal with why isn't Shimon chayev? Yeah, but we'll get to that anyway.
Well, yes, a little bit. We touched on it.
That was something else. We touched on where you made it wider or deeper or whatever, and you made the hezek more likely. Right. But here we're talking about that here we're just talking about, in other words, that there was a banging that startled the animal and therefore it fell in.
I mean, human beings also, which is like animals similar, when you hear noise, you go away from noise, you don't go towards the noise.
Sometimes you might have. We don't mean that he deliberately goes towards the noise. We just mean, in other words, that the animal is walking by about a foot or two away from the burr, and then it hears the noise, and then that startles it, and therefore it loses its footing and it falls in.
Right, that
yeah. So anyway, so we're saying if it fell in forward, nafal lefonav, so then chayev la'achrav mikolak kriya potter. But if it fell in backwards because of the sound of the banging, then he's potter. Now, what do we mean lefonav and la'achrav? That does it mean actually forward or backward? Does it mean something else? That we're going to deal with in the Gemara. We're going to have machlokas Rav and Shmuel on that topic. So okay, continues the Mishnah. Nafal asercha shur v'kela v'nishtabru. If a shur together with its gear fell into the pit and the gear broke, chamur v'kela v'niskaru, or you have an ox, now you have a donkey together with its gear fell into the pit and got ripped. Rashi points out the difference is that the gear of a shur, well, we're talking about kalim. We learned before that a bur you potter for kalim. Yeah. The reason why we use the different terminology, Rashi explains, because the gear of a, what is the gear of an ox? What is an ox usually carrying around in the street would be things like a yoke, which is a solid piece. Therefore, when it falls into the bur, you can talk about it breaking. On the other hand, what does a chamur usually carry? It would be carrying a saddle. It would be carrying It would be carrying clothes, for example, or whatever. And those are more likely. You can't talk about them breaking. They're not a hard object to break. They're a soft object with ribs. Either way, the point is, in other words, that the kalim got damaged falling into the bur. So continues the Mishnah. Chayev al behemo, potter al kalim. So he's going to be chayev for the animal and potter for the kalim, because as we've learned before, you're potter for kalim because the pasuk says shur or chamur, and from that we learn not an adam and not kalim. Continues the mission. Nafal asecha shur cheresh shur to bekatan chayev. If the animal that fell in there was a cheresh or was a deaf shur or shoita, by people, by the way, cheresh means that it's a deaf mute, can't hear and can't speak. Animals, seeing as how they can't speak, the pashas cheresh means that it's just deaf. Or therefore doesn't know what's going on around it. Shoita, or it's an animal that's known to be mentally deranged. Or a cotton, or a small shur, which doesn't know to look out for things. So then chayev. In other words, as opposed to the Gemara is going to say, if the animal's a pikeach, then normally you'd be potter, except under circumstances, like we said, for example, where you're banging, and the animal gets startled by the noise. Yeah. Ben ibas, if a boy or a girl falls in there, ebe de oma, or a slave or a maidservant falls in there, potter, then you're potter, because you have the miut from shur v'le adam, that you have the miut that an adam, you're not chayev for falling in. And that's fine.
Is that Rachel's
right? Yeah. That's fine. So even if it was a child, now even though a child, you would think, a balabatish asvara would say, okay, you know, the same way as a small animal doesn't know to look out, the same way maybe a small child doesn't know to look out for a bird either. Nevertheless, that's how the Torah says it. Shur v'le adam, and therefore you're potter for a person falling in there.
So cotton before, now he's saying.
Oh, ben ebas means cotton was that shur. If the shur is a cotton, chayev. Here we're talking about an adam who's a cotton.
With
the Mishnah
right now?
So, and even Eved or Amma, the Chiddush is over there, even though an Eved or an Amma, we learned the other day, for example, that to a certain extent, they're considered like a person's animals. We have the case, for example, where somebody struck a pregnant Shifa and she miscarried. If Reuven's Shur injured Shimon's Shifa and caused her to miscarry, he's going to be Chayev the same way as if the ox had injured Shimon's Chamer. But here we don't say that. Here we apply the rule of Shur v'lo Adam, and after all, an Eved or an Amma are human beings, and therefore you're potter for them falling into the bur.
Them or the children?
Well, you're chayav potter for them. You have whatever they got injured or they got killed, they're falling into the bur, then the owner of the bur is potter from payment.
For
anything involving people, yeah. I think maybe the Rambam does say that maybe at least you'd be chayav for some payment, because after all it was an asset that belonged to the other person that now your bur caused damage. I'm not sure about that though. Let's see. Like I said, today's all this that we're learning about bur is in fact in today's Rambam. Yeah, today's Shlosha Prakim of Rambam. So he just says that's all. If a person falls in there and dies, regardless, Ben Churin or Eved, how is a potter? Now the Rambam does mention, by the way, if a person or even a normal animal gets injured in the bur, then the person who dug the bur is going to be chayav nezek shalim. The Ravid, in fact, disagrees about that. The Ravid says, if we're saying that you're potter for the death of the animal or the person falling in there, why should you be chayav for the nezakim?
Nezakim
are different, but nevertheless, still, why would we say that the miut and the pasuk of shur v'lo adam applies only to death and not to nezakim? So the Ravid asks that question. The Magid Mishnah over there answers the Rambam. Anyway, okay. So the Gemara says, "V'rishin ad emas miftar." Okay, so we said the first case of the Mishnah again was we had that Reuven covered the burr, then Shimon came and found the burr uncovered, and we said that if Shimon didn't cover it, then Shimon is going to be fired. So Verishon ad Emas Mifter. Up to what point is this first one, is Reuven Potter? If Shimon came and used the burr and then didn't cover it, up to what point do we say that Shimon exclusively is going to be Chayev and Reuven is going to be Potter? So Amar Rav B'chdei Sheyeda. So Rav says it has to be enough time that the first one, that Reuven, is going to know that it's uncovered. So when he comes back over there and finds that it's uncovered, and now both of them know it's uncovered, so now both of them have an equal chiyuv, so now we can say that both of them, so now both of them are equally chayev. So now if either one fails to cover it, then both of them are going to be chayev. What?
It starts with only the guy who...
Yeah, but now we're saying, in other words, there's a point where only the second one is chayev. Namely, when he passed by, found it uncovered, and the first one didn't even have time to find out about it yet. So then,
right?
Yeah, we're talking about Shurkin.
So
if Reuven had covered the burr, Shimon came by and found it uncovered because, like we said, let's say the cover was eaten away by worms. What we're saying is, Shimon is going to be chayev at that point because there's no cover on it. We're going to explain soon why Shimon should be chayev. But eventually there comes a point when Reuven is going to be chayev as well. And namely, Rav says that point would be reached when Reuven finds out about it, that the burr is uncovered, and he hasn't taken steps to do anything about it. Shmuel says it's not when he finds out about it, when they informed him. So in other words, Rashi explains that Shmuel is being more machmir compared to Rav. Rav says he actually has to be there and see it uncovered, and then only then is Reuven chayev. Shmuel would say that no, it's enough that he was informed about it. So he wasn't there in person, but he was informed about it. So therefore, then the chiyuv is not completely only on Shimon anymore. That's Rashi's first explanation. Rashi brings a second explanation, which is that Kadesh Yadi'uhu means that even if he came and saw it, he would still be potter until they inform him, but Rashi says that Rashi prefers the first Lashon. Why should it be? If he himself saw it, then why should we potter him? Tosfos explains differently. Tosfos explains the Machlokas Rav and Shmuel. Rav would be saying Kadesh Yeda would mean that there's a coil. The news is going around in town that this burr is uncovered. And now, if he doesn't do something about it, then he's going to be fired. Shmuel then would say it's not enough to just hear rumors about it. It has to be Shiyodi Uhu. They actually inform him in person. So it would come out, according to Shmuel, that according to Tosfos, it would come out that Shmuel is being makel compared to Rav. Rav is going to say that as long as you could have heard about it through rumors, then that's reason enough to be Machai of you. And Shmuel will say, no, you actually have to be hearing it in person. So that's Rav and Shmuel. Rabbi Yechanan says further, you need even more time. It has to be enough time that they inform him, and he hires workers, where those workers will chop down trees, will cut trees, and make a new cover for the burr. Up until that point, in other words, then the first one is going to be potter. Now, Rashi adds that this first one. Now, Rashi adds the second one, we're not going to give him that amount of break. Why not? Because once the second one came and found it uncovered, keep in mind, the scenario in the mission here is the first one did cover it. The second one came and found it uncovered. So Rashi points out, what he ought to do really is he ought to put up a shomer. He ought to right away hire somebody to stand guard by the burr to make sure until he has the time to go and build a cover. Right.
That's, you know what? The presume that you're talking about with the rumors.
Yeah.
So how do you get the rumors? How do you get the presume? By some second person like Shimon seeing it. So there is a second or third or fourth, but somebody else saw it. Okay. So they're also liable. Who are these guys?
No, because if they don't one second. If they don't own the bird, they're not responsible.
Shimon was, he just saw it.
So Shimon, that's what we're saying. Shimon came and didn't cover it. That's
he didn't do anything. He just saw it.
Calm down. That's what we're saying. We're saying that because Shimon didn't cover it, therefore we don't give him this extra amount of time. We say that once he knew that it was uncovered, the loy kisahu hasheni chayev, the second one is going to be chayev. Shimon is always going to be chayev. In other words, the question is, at what point does Reuven have to share in the chiyuv as well? So now you have the three different opinions, whether what he found out or when he was informed or when he has enough time to make a new cover. Shimon, meanwhile, we're going to say, is not given that extra. We're talking about the whole time that Shimon is chayev. We're talking about when is Reuven also going to be chayev. So that
Reuven left it, it was covered.
But nevertheless, there comes a point when Reuven has to be chayev as well, because the fact is that there came a point when his bur was uncovered. So now we have three different opinions. Right. We have three different opinions. So he was told, or he was, now, by the way, Tosfos disagrees with Rashi on that point as well, and says that no, when you're saying, Rashi is learning that Shimon, we don't give that amount of time, Tosfos is saying no, we do give Shimon that amount of time as well. We just don't need Shiyadi'uhu. Rabbi Yochanan is mentioning only the first one, because you need Shiyadi'uhu. He has to be informed. Because it was covered when he left. Shimon already knows it was uncovered, so you don't need the Yodi Uhu, but you still have to have So Rav would say he already knows. Shmuel would say that, and Shmuel would say that he should put Shomrim over there. And Rabbi Yochanan would say that he doesn't necessarily have to put Shomrim, but you have to give him time to build a cover. Yeah.
But if Shimon informs Reuven,
Informs Reuven, then fine, same thing. Well, the point is Reuven knows.
But we're talking about partners.
Yeah. So again, if Levi, who doesn't own anything with this bird, he passes by and finds it uncovered, he doesn't have any responsibility about it.
Tell the people.
He's a third person.
Yeah. Okay. Onward. We said in the Mishnah, Kisohu Karoi, if he covered the bur properly, the Nafal Secha Shur Hamur Hames, and a Shur Hamur fell into it and died, Potter, so he said he's Potter. So the question is, given to Kisohu Karoi, Hechi Nafal. Well, if he covered it properly, how did the animal fall in the first place? Amrav Yitzchak Babachona, Sheitliya Mitoichai. The answer is that it got wormy and it broke apart from the inside. So therefore, the owner of the bird is not expected to bear such a possibility in mind. So therefore, you can't be mechayev for it. Okay. So the Gemara says he boiled. Now we have a question in that connection. Kisohu kisu sheyochol lama lifnei shvarim. Suppose he covered it with a cover that's strong enough that it will withstand oxen. Oxen can continuously walk on it and nothing will happen. The cover will stay strong unless worms or whatever start attacking it. The ein yochol lama lifnei gmalim, but it's not strong enough to withstand camels. Camels weigh more. Yeah, camels are bigger animals. They weigh more. So it's not strong enough to withstand camels, but also gmalim va'arua. Then camels came by and weakened it, like they cracked it, for example. But also shvarim v'nafribe, and then oxen came by and fell in. My, what would be the din? Is the person chayev or potter?
Now the word shvarim means, but no, he means
shvarim means oxen in plural, but it means, in other words, one
appears.
Yeah, I mean, maybe, but at the point, I mean, the din would apply to one ox as well, but we mean gmalim and shvarim in the general sense, camels and oxen that are walking by you. So Amri, so they said, so the Bnei HaYeshiva, now Rashi points out, if camels were to fall into it, there'd be no questions, Chaya, because again, he didn't put a cover strong enough for camels. So relative to camels, he'd definitely be considered a Peshea. In fact, now the Gemara is going to deal with the question over here, whether this is a place where camels commonly come by. Nevertheless, though, the point is that since camels could come by, you still have to make nevertheless, if a camel does come by, even unexpectedly, you can't call that an onus because you could have made a stronger cover. But here we're talking about, so now the Gemara is going to deal with what exactly is the usual traffic around here. So the Gemara says, Ami, so they said, Hey, Fidomi, what's the scenario? Idish Chifi Gmalim. If camels are commonly found in this area, Peshehu, then he was careless because he should have realized that the camels are going to walk on it and they're going to eventually crack it. The Idaloi Shechichi Gmalim, and if camels don't commonly come in this area, Onusu, then it should be considered an Oinus. How could he expect? Fine, it's one thing, like Rashi and Tosfos are saying, that if an actual camel falls in there to be Mechayev, but to say that he should have to be Chayev on the possibility that camels may walk by there, where camels don't usually come in this area, and they may cracked it, and then a shur may walk over it and fall in. That's a whole bunch of far fetched things that you shouldn't be mechayim for, and should be considered an oinus. So the answer is loit sricha da'osu leprokim. The answer is that camels sometimes come over there.
Summertime.
Not all the time, but sometimes. Yeah, maybe summertime, maybe different, whatever. Now the question is, Mia minin tibin da asin la prokin pasheu. Do we say, since camels do sometimes come in this area, then he's a pasheu, de iboilal asuki adaiti, he should have taken into consideration that camels are going to come by and crack it. The fact is, right now there are no camels coming by, so maybe we should consider him an onus, and therefore, even if a camel does happen to come by and crack it, then maybe therefore we should be pondering him.
Now, would you give him a limit to a month, 2 months, 3 months?
Whatever the season, but pastures, I mean, look, eventually a wooden cover is going to have to be replaced anyhow. You know, it is going to get broken by worms or it is right. Whatever, you know, it's going to get wet, yeah, whatever. So what's the deal? So the Gemara says Toshma. Let's prove from our Mishnah. We said in our Mishnah, Kisohu Karo, if you covered the pit properly, the Nafal Seicha Shorah Chamor Hamas, and a Shorah Chamor fell into it and died, Potter. So again, Heichi Dami, what would be the scenario where we covered it properly and nevertheless a Shorah Chamor fell in? If he covered it with a strong enough cover that will stand up to oxen and the camels, so then, how did the animals fall in there in the first place? At this point, the Gemara is not assuming this matter that we said before about that worms ate it. El alav, shouldn't it mean karoy l'shvarim v'loy karoy l'gmalim? So evidently it means that it was good enough for oxen, but not good enough for camels. And the e d'shchichi gmalim, now if our Mishnah was talking about that, and so again, the point is, as Rashi says, that camels did come by and they cracked it or weakened it. So now, the e d'shchichi gmalim, if it's a place where camels commonly come by, am I potter? Why should he be potter? Ha presheahu. Isn't he a presheah? The eagle is shchichi gmalim, and if it's a place where camels don't come by, pshita, of course he's potter, onusu, then it's an onus. El alav to ask him the prakim. Evidently, the Mishnah must be talking about where camels sometimes come by. But also gmalim va'arua. So now camels came and cracked it. But also shvarin v'nafli bay. And now oxen, or one ox, came by and fell into it. V'katoni potter. And the Mishnah is saying potter. Alma, that would show that, yeah, given to hash the lekka, since right now when he put up the cover, there are no camels, he doesn't have to worry about what's going to happen. So fine, later on, before the camel season begins, then he'll put up a stronger cover. But meanwhile, you can't be mechai of him to put up a stronger cover right now. So therefore, onusu, so it sounds like the Mishnah is saying he's potter because it's an onus. So that would answer our question. Amri, but they answer, Loi. Not necessarily is that the correct understanding of the Mishnah. You could say to begin with, he put up a cover that was strong enough for oxen and for camels. Then you're wondering how the animal fell in. We just said, because we're talking about that it got wormy, it got eaten up by worms, and that's a total onus. You don't expect him to have to, the Rabbi Yehonasan and makes the point that you don't expect him to go, you don't expect him to come there every so often and start kicking it or testing it and making sure that it's not getting like that. You don't. Once he put up a solid cover, then he's entitled until he has reason to think that it's damaged. He put up a proper cover, and therefore we don't require him to constantly be going and checking.
That's the bird, which is used a few times a week.
If it's a bird that's used a few times a week, then whoever has permission to use it has the responsibility to cover it. That's what we said in the Mishnah.
Check it.
Yeah, but no, the owner himself, the point is, I mean, Yehonasan makes the point, we don't require the owner to go there every few days or every week or whatever and start banging on it and start stepping on it to see if it's still strong or if it's starting to weaken. We don't do that. So therefore, so yes, so the Mishnah could be talking about such a case, and therefore the Mishnah we can't prove from the Mishnah one way or the other where the cover is only strong enough for oxen, but not strong enough for camels. Again, if a camel were to fall in there, as Rashi says, no question, he'd be chayev, but the question is, where the camels, all they can do is weaken it, and now that makes it possible for a shur to fall in, are we going to be mechayev him in a place where camels don't commonly come by, they only once in a while they come by, can we be mechayev him or not? So we haven't proved one way or the other.
Here comes out that if it's only once in a while, you don't have to do it.
So you, if it's once in a while, you don't have to. What we're saying is, if it's once in a while, do you have to make it strong enough to deal with that once in a while case for a camel? That's what the Gemara is asking. So we don't have an answer yet. We're still working that out. So the Gemara says, Toshma. So fine, let's try to bring a proof. Let's try to bring a proof from the end of the Mishnah. And this proof actually. So here, the first proof we tried to bring was that actually. That he should be potter in this case. The second proof we're going to try to bring is, on the contrary, we're going to try to prove from the Mishnah that he should be chayav. So like this, Toshma, the Mishnah continues, loy kiso karoy, if he didn't cover the bird properly, v'nafal osech ha-shorech hamer v'mes, and a shorech hamer fell in and died, chayav. So again, hefi dummy, what's the scenario? Ilema loy karoy l'shvorim v'loy karoy l'gmalim, if the cover was too weak for oxen and too weak for camels, pshita. Of course he's chayav. Tzrichal meimer b'chayav. Do you have to say he's chayav? Of course, that's outright pshia. Elalav karoy l'shvarim v'loy karoy l'gmalin. Obviously, shaloy karoy means that it was good enough for oxen, not good enough for camels. And again, heichidomi. And what's the details of the scenario? Idishchichi gmalim. If gmalim commonly come by over there, pesheu, then it's careless because he should realize that every gomel that walks over there is going to make it weaker and weaker. And if there are no camels, then he's onus. El alav to ask him the prokin. Obviously, it must mean that they come once in a while. But also gmalim va'aruhu. So camels came and weakened it. But also shvorim v'nofu bay, and shvorim came and fell in. Bekotani chayim. And here the Mishnah is saying chayim. Alma kiven to ask him the prokin pesheahu. So we see that even though camels only come once in a while, we can still call them a pesheah for not covering it properly for gmalim. So therefore, so that would answer our question that he's chayim. But the Gemara answer is not necessarily la'olam karoy l'shvarim v'la karoy l'gmalim u'shchichi gmalim. We can be talking about alma. So we see kiven de asim l'prokim, since camels do come sometimes pesheahu, that makes him a pesheah. Di boy le'asukei adaiti, he should have realized that camels are going to come by and weaken it. And so therefore, that would answer our question that if it was not strong enough for camels. And camels come there sometimes. The Mishnah is implying that the Mishnah is saying he's chayiv, and the implication is that's the case. What would be the case? The Pashto. So it would have to be that case. Because again, it can't be where camels always come there, because then there's no chiddush. It can't be where camels almost never come there, because then he's an oinus. Must be where they come the prokin. So there's our answer. But the Gemara says no. La'olam karoy l'shvarim v'loy karoy l'gmalim. In fact, we can say that cover was good enough for shvarim, but not for gmalim. Ushchichi gmalim. And that even it is a place where camels do commonly come by. So you're asking in that case if camels are always there all the time, isn't he pesheah? You're right. He should be chayev. There's not much chiddush in it. I did nosiv reisha kiso karoi nosiv sefer nami lo kiso karoi. Since the reisha had used the expression when he did cover it properly, so therefore the end of the Mishnah uses the expression where he didn't cover it properly, even though there's less of a chiddush in it, because obviously if there are camels there all the time, then he's going to be chayev. But the Mishnah is just using a parallelism. Agos Habach actually adds a word over here, adds a few words to the Gemara over here. He takes out and adds some words to the Gemara that we're talking about. It was not Karoy L'Shvarim, and it was not Karoy L'Gmalim. So we can be talking about even it wasn't adequate even for Shvarim, let alone for camels. The fact that we're saying he's Chayav, because then, so in other words, it's called Loy Kiso Karoy, even relative to the oxen. And nevertheless, the fact that the Mishnah is saying chayiv, even though you think there's no chiddush in it, is just because that's how it is. Once we have one half of the Mishnah is phrased a certain way, then the other half is phrased in a similar way to be parallel. Tosfos, by the way, points out, so what do we have over here? In the ratio, we were trying to say he was potter, so how are we going to understand the Sefer? The fact is, the Sefer says chayiv. When we first brought the ratio to try to prove that he was potter, how are we going to understand the Sefer? And the answer is because we can say this ivy, but if we can find a better reason why the Mishnah would say it, we would rather do that. So we'd rather, like this, if we say that in the Reisha he's Potter, and we're saying in the Reisha he's Potter, and the Sefer he's Chayim, if we're going to say that that's because only, if we're going to say it means that when he put up a cover that's good enough for oxen, but not good enough for camels, and camels sometimes come there, he's going to be potter. So we'd say that in the Sefer, we're mentioning chayev. There's not much of a chiddush in it, but we're just mentioning ivy. But now we're saying maybe we have a reason to say actually that it does specifically phrase it that way, not just ID, not just because it says in one half, therefore the other half, but rather that we have an actual chiddush in it. Well, now we would say, if we were to learn, like the first lashon, that when it's good enough for oxen but not for camels, he's potter, even though camels sometimes come by, we would have said that the sefer is talking about where it wasn't good enough for either one of them, and therefore he's chayev, and there's not much of a chiddush in it, but that would just be id. But instead, now we're saying that we don't have to say it that way. We could in fact say that he is in fact chayev, and there's a chiddush in it because it was good enough for oxen after all, and yet he's still chayev because he didn't take into consideration the camels, and yeah.
Even though
it's only the prokin. Yeah. So we can't be sure one way or the other.
No raya.
So no raya yet. So Aidi the Nosiv Resh Kisokaroi, Nosiv Sefer Nami like Kisokaroi. Ikadamri. Now that was all one version of the discussion. Another version goes Honami Vadi Loi Boilon. We also, even in this case where he made it good enough for oxen but not for camels, and camels come the prukim, there's still no question. Obviously, given to Asian the prukim, since camels do sometimes come over there, Pashayahu, then he's careless. Even though mostly oxen come by over here, and oxen won't damage it, but because there are camels that come by the prokim, surely in the second lashon they say we have to be machai of him when it gets cracked by camels and then oxen fall in. He should have considered that camels are going to come and crack the prokim. Rather, according to the second version, the question is, Hochi, who do you boil on? The question reads as follows. Suppose, again, it was strong enough for oxen, but not strong enough for camels. And oxen do come, and camels do come, commonly come to this area. However, it didn't end up getting quacked by the camels. Instead, it got wormy, and that's why it got weakened. And that's why it got weakened. Nothing to do with the camels, but rather a side thing. So now the question is, mi amunin migu de havi pesheya etzog gmalin havi pesheya nami le inan atla. Do we say once we say that he's a pesheya, as far as camels, which are because if camels had come by, we would be mechayev him. Does that mean we also consider him pesheya as far as worminess, even though usually worms were not being mechayev him to check for? But once he's pesheya in one thing, then we hold him responsible for anything else that happens as well. Or maybe we don't say that. He's chayev if camels were to break it, but he's not chayev for worms breaking. So that's the question. Now, Tosfos deals over here at some length with the fact that the Gemara mentions in other places, notably in Perek HaMakir, there's a whole discussion about what's called Tchilosu B'Pshia V'Soifa B'Oinas. A person did something that to begin with was Pshia, but later on there was a different Oinas that happened. Is he Chayev because of the original Pshia or not? And the Gemara has a whole discussion over there, and the Halacha is that he is Chayev. So how does that fit with the Gemara over here? On the face of it, it's exactly the same thing. So among other things, Tosfos brings an opinion from the Riva that says, when do we say that is only where the Pshia somehow contributed towards the Oinus, but not where they're completely separate things. Here, the worms have absolutely nothing to do with the strength of the cover as far as Malin. So we can't necessarily apply the rule of Tchilas and Pshia v'Seifa b'Oinus. That would only be if the Pshia somehow can be related to the Oinus that happened afterwards. A case that you have in Hamaskit over there. So the case you have in Hamaskit over there is, for example, a Shomer was careless with an animal. It went out to the meadow and it died over there in the meadow. So you can talk about over there, Abaya and Rava talk about, can we say that maybe the animal being in the meadow somehow contributed to its death? Or would we say, no, the Malach HaMavis could take it wherever it is. But at least there's some kind of at least you can say there is some kind of connection between one and the other. But there's no connection whatsoever between worms eating through a cover versus camels walking on the cover and breaking it. Therefore, we can't necessarily say that we would apply the rule of Tchilas and Pshia v'Seifa b'Oinas. The Tosfos goes on to discuss various aspects of it in some detail. Anyway, so the Gemara says, Toshma. Kisohu Karoi. Again, according to the second version, we have to go through the same arguments again. So Kisohu Karoi, we said in the Mishnah, if you covered the bur properly, the Nafal Sefer Shurah Hamur of a mess, and a Shurah Hamur fell in and died, Potter, the Ithmar Allah, and we said on that, Amr of Yitzchak Babachana, and Treat Liam Mitoshle, we talked about that it developed worms. And so again, hefi dami. So now that we established that we're talking about worms, what's the scenario? If it was strong enough even for camels and it got wormy, pshitzed the potter, of course he's potter, because he's an earnest, my have a little mad, but what could he have done differently? Elalav, karoi l'shvorim, like karoi l'gmalim. Obviously it was strong enough for oxen and not for camels, or shchichi gmalim, and ox and camels are common, because again, if camels aren't common, then vaito would be an earnest. V'itliya mitosen, it got wormy, v'katoni potter. Alma, loyamin, and migu to have a pashelin, and gmal have a pashelin, and asla. So we don't say this migu. We don't say because, we would say it's pashelin as far as camels. If a camel had fallen in there, or even if a camel had walked by and cracked it, we would be machayev him. But now that in the event it was because of worms, then the Mishnah is saying he's potter. Because it had nothing to do, because it was because of the worms. That's the point. That was saying we don't say that because he's pashelin as far as one, therefore necessarily he's pashelin as far as the other.
Right.
So therefore, so we would say that we don't say migri in this case. But the Gemara says not a proof. Loi la'olam karoy l'gmalim karoy l'shvarim v'itliyam toicha. In fact, we can be talking about it was strong enough for both, and it got wormy. Or the kakashalach ki itliyam might have a little mad. But you're going to say if it got wormy, then of course it's an oinus. What's the chiddush? Ma'u detema. You would think maybe not. You borele l'mezal or min kashalei. Maybe you should go and bang on it once in a while to see if it's still strong. Kamash malon. The Mishnah is telling us he's not chayav to do that.
That's for you.
That far, you know. So the Gemara continues. Toshma, loyki sohu karoy.
Aren't you supposed to end 15 minutes before this morning?
Generally, yes, but sometimes we have to go a few minutes over.
Not a few. You're very late. I want to get dressed.
You can go ahead and get
dressed. That's later about yeah. Sunday.
On Sunday, then Sunday takes time for people. Sunday it takes time for people to show up for the meeting. Right? Give us 3 minutes. Give us 2-3 minutes, and we'll be done. Toshma. Loiki sohu karoi. The Mishnah continues. If you didn't cover it properly, the nafal osecha shura chamor v'mes chayev, and a shura chamor falls in and dies is chayev. Again, hechi domi ilayim loy karoi l'shvorim loy karoi l'gmalim. If the cover was too weak for oxen and for camels, tzricha l'meimar. Do you need to say? Of course he's the chayev. Of course he's chayev. El alav karoi l'shvorim loy karoi l'gmalim. Obviously, it was strong enough for oxen and not for camels. The idish chichi gmalim pasheahu, and if gmalim are commonly there, then it's pashea. The idish chichi gmalim onrusu, and if gmalim don't commonly come by, then he's an onus. El alav the shchichi gmalim v'tliya mitorichoi. We have to be talking about in the second version that camels do commonly come by, but that it got wormy. It didn't break because of the camels. It broke because of the worms. The katani chayim, and the Mishnah is saying chayim. Alma amrinen migur da have b'sheilin gmala have b'sheilin in aslaw. So that would prove that we do say the migur. And the answer is, Ami, the answer, loy, not necessarily. La'olam karoy l'shvorim, v'loy karoy l'gmalim, v'shchichi gmalim. We are talking about it wasn't good enough for camels, and camels do commonly come. But also gmalim v'aruhu, v'also shvorim enough to bay. Camels came by where they commonly come by, and they did crack it, and then shvorim fell in. Or kakashalach pshita. So you're saying, of course it's poshet that is chayah p'sheahu. No, I did not say Bereisha, he saw Karoi, like we said in the first version, because the Mishnah is using the expression in the beginning, we covered it properly, Nosif Seifanami, Loiki Sohu, therefore in the second part of the Mishnah, it uses the expression Loiki Sohu, even though there's not much of a Chiddush in it. And again, you have the same point that Tosfos said before about what were we thinking according to the first possible answer, if the fact is the second part of the Mishnah says Chayev, how would that one have understood it?
Last piece would be perfect if we say that it has to come sometimes.
So that's what we're saying. We're talking about that. So we're talking about that. No, we're saying even if camels do come regularly, we're saying that's poshut that he would be chayev because. And we're saying it's poshut that he would be chayev because it's poshut. And the only reason the Mishnah mentions it is just to be parallel with the other part. Okay, so the Gemara finishes off. Fine, we can finally answer the question. Toshma, nafal osecha cheres shirt of a cotton. Sure, cheres shirt of a cotton. We said it for sure that is a cheres shirt of a cotton falls in. Or actually the Mishnah had said that. The Braisa adds more detail. Suma, or if the ox is blind. Or mahalach balayla, or if the ox was walking at night, chayev. In all those cases, chayev. Pikeach, but if the animal was a normal animal, or mahalach bayom, was walking by day, potter, then the owner of the bird is potter because the shor should have looked out. Ba'amai. Now, why should we say he's potter? Neima midahavi pashele in cheresh habi nami pashele in pikeach. If we say he was a pashaya as far as a cheres shoit of a cotton, an ox that's a cheres shoit of a cotton, having nami pesheli in pekeach, shouldn't we say if we apply the concept of migui, we would say he is chayev then even if the animal was normal, because we would say once he's peshea on one, he's peshea on everything. Ela lav shmamina loy amina migri. Obviously, we don't say migri for this kind of thing. Shmamina, so that's how it is. So lamaskana, we say, therefore, that we don't say migri. So therefore, in this case, if he covered it, even though it wasn't strong enough for camels, it was strong enough for oxen. If, though, so if camels walked on it and cracked it, then yes, we're going to be machayim. But if worms came and ate away at the cover, and therefore animals fell in, then you're going to pop to him. He was careless as far as camels. That's true. And therefore, if camels were to weaken it, then he would be chayav. But because it was nothing to do with camels, because it was worms, then therefore we're pop to him.
We don't say
mikri. We don't say mikri. That's the maskana.